All right, let's open our Bibles to close out the evening. Take you to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've just entitled the message, Be Ye Faithful. Faithfulness is a topic that I think about often. Some of that application I will give you at the end of the message, I think where it fits a little bit better. Faithfulness, being faithful is not uncommon to those men that attended our faithful men. It would come up regularly because we called ourselves faithful men. Taken from 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where you read these words, Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, that's packed with things that are a challenge to men. But faithfulness is not just for men. It's for every believer. But I wanted to show you that concept of being a faithful person. When I was putting together our website, there's this thing. I try to look up a name of. I just call it a slogan. I don't know what the official name for it is. If you see it on the welcome screen here before and after the service, Berean Baptist Church is pursuing faithfulness to the Word and to the life of the body. So what we want to do. Or what I had said our course had to do is to pursue being faithful. So faithful is an important matter to think about. I think it's something to keep in our minds. I think it is timely, as I'll share with you when we get to the end of the service. Faithfulness or faithful means trustworthy or reliable. Those are words that those are more lection from a dictionary. They give a sense of what it means. I give these illustrations, right? And now some of these break down, but if you get the idea, it'll tell you get a sense of what faithfulness is. If someone were to say this, the movie was faithful to the book, right? I kind of wait for the movie to come out. I don't read the book, but those who read the book first say, well, that movie was faithful, or they usually don't use the opposite, but it's faithful to the book. It means that it depicts closely, it matches, it follows what is written. So we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this in verse 9, God is faithful. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, again, we find a phrase in the teaching, God is faithful. So what is God? God matches who he says he is. All right, he's faithful to his character. He's faithful to his word. He's trustworthy to do what he says he will do. His actions always match his character. So that's the idea of matching. If I use this phrase, someone might be referred to, or hopefully we are men, you are referred to as a faithful husband. All right, a faithful husband. What does that mean? Well, I think in the way we would use it, it means that he doesn't give to another individual what belongs to his wife. That would be unfaithful. All right, so he's consistent, he's dedicated to his wife. He's fulfilled his word, his promise, his oath, his obligations. He is a faithful husband. We might say this, you may hear this term, or you might use it of somebody else, of yourself. You say, well, he is a faithful church member. What does that mean? Well, faithful means he's loyal, he's regular in attendance, giving, participation. You could trust him to be at church, not someplace else. He's faithful to his church. So we have these concepts of faithfulness that work themselves out. Here's another one, and I don't know if it's used anymore or not, but you'll understand the picture. Someone might say, well, he's a faithful worker, something that's you would hope would be common, but it's not that common. Someone who you can trust him to be there every day on time and do the job you give him, right? A faithful worker. So we have this idea of faithfulness, trustworthy, reliable. There's elements of it that we can flesh out in what it means. But we know that God is faithful, so really we are mimicking the character of God when we are faithful. But what are some things about faithfulness that we need to put freshly in our mind? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I've divided it into three sections. You know, they're not going to help you to know when I'm going to get done. It's just not going to work, and so forth. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, first of all, I want us to remind us, the men are going to notice that I am a steward. I'm a steward of what I've been given. Now, I have another word there I'm introducing. I'm a steward of what I'm given. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it's required that a steward be found faithful. Chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, Paul says in verse 1 that he was a steward of the mysteries of God, the things that God had revealed to him that hadn't been revealed before. They weren't spooky things. They weren't not understandable. That's the idea of the mysteries of God. And he was a steward of that to tell others, to tell the church, to write these things down. He was a steward of the mysteries of God. So a steward, what is a steward? A steward is entrusted with the keeping and the management of a household. That's what a steward was. So a steward needs to know what has been entrusted to him. And the steward has one requirement, that he be faithful to do what his master tells him with what has been instructed to him, or what has been entrusted to him. More on that in just a moment. All right, so here's the idea. A steward is to be found faithful. 2 Timothy, we'll jump around and I'll give you a few things that I want to put in your mind. And you say, well, here I am as a believer, and we could be more specific. If we were men, there'd be certain our wives are entrusted to us. We could go and be particular like that. But just in general, as a Christian, I want to show you this, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. I am entrusted as a Christian with the Word of God. All right, so I am entrusted with the word. Where do I get that from? Verse 13 and 14, Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. All right, that's the idea that committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So there's the idea of committed unto him. He's been entrusted with the word of God, and his task, the very beginning of his task, was to keep that word. Faithful to that word. All of us as believers have been entrusted with the word. First Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Now this is somewhat of an application, but if you're, I guess it's just a page over. I just wanted to show you this because this is the timely part for our church, is as you go through the idea of searching and eventually will call your next pastor, realize this in Titus chapter 1 verse 7, one of the things that you need to have in your thoughts as you search and call is this requirement, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the what? Steward of God. So has he been faithful to what God has given him? All right, that's the idea. That doesn't quite resonate with me, and that's kind of more of a theoretical. It's not really theory. It is a reality that this is the requirement. Blameless, we could talk about another time, or you'll have to deal with another time. But the idea of being a steward of God, tying that with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, a steward is required to be faithful. So if the steward has not been faithful, then there would be cause to say that's a disqualification from the ministry. Right there, and that ties into a bunch of different things, but a steward must be faithful. Your pastor needs to be a steward of the Word of God. I always remember, and I know I've shared with this many times, I was in seminary, returned back to Grace Baptist Church in Madison, Wisconsin, Pastor Robert Dow. We were on a vacation. He said, why don't you come and preach? I did that fearfully, but I got there. He called me into his office before the service time, and he said, Scott, he reminded me that he only had one or two semesters of Bible Institute. That was his training as a pastor. And he said, now you're going to seminary, he says, and we'll get to that verse a little bit later. He says, God's going to require a whole lot more of you than he did of me. And I thought to me, thanks. But that's the idea. So what, when you talk about, I am a steward of the education that God has given me, right? I was a steward. I have to be faithful to that, and this all comes to play. But I am entrusted with the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, we didn't read that far. You say, thankfully, we didn't keep on going. But 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a phrase here. It will bring up other matters, but I just want to show you something. I am entrusted with what is called in this verse the manifold grace of God. This is the kind of grace which strengthens and enables. There's been episodes in church history where they've almost become, in my lifetime, become enamored with the idea of gifts that we've been given. This is kind of in a context of those gifts. But look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as every man has received the gift, I think that's the Holy Spirit, all right, the indwelling Spirit, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So I'm a steward of what God has done in me, the manifold grace of God. I share that with others. I minister that with others. Consistent with other portions of Scripture, I have been, God has done things in me that I am in turn to share with others so that God can do the same in them. Or I can use that, God uses that to minister to them. But as we have this idea of I'm entrusted with the manifold grace of God, and with that, I'll give you a third, I'm making it a third thing, but it's all works together. I'm entrusted with the life that God has given me. All right? That includes things like abilities. God includes things like resources, money. We often think of stewardship as in terms of money. It definitely has that connotation or that application, but it's all sorts of resources. I mentioned education. God has entrusted me with his workings in what I call providential situations. Things have happened in my life, things have happened in your life that God has seen you through, that now you need to be a steward of that. There's the idea of background and history and upbringing. In terms of stewardship, I don't put this pressure on my children, but I grew up in a household that did not know Christ as their Savior. My children grow up in a household where they had their dad as a pastor. Can I suggest to you, more is required of them than was required of me. And so we are stewards of that kind of a background. That may not be a best illustration, and it's not to put pressure on them at all. I think of this way. I have been entrusted with my children. All right? I get a smile on my face. I've been entrusted with grandchildren. And you know what? What is required of a steward that has been entrusted with something is that I be faithful to what God wants me to do. Right? That I need to match that. I need to not do something else. I need to be faithful to what God has given to me. So a steward needs to know what he has been given and entrusted with. I think that's an important meditation for individuals. I think it's an appropriate meditation for a church. What has God given us? What has he entrusted us with? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Let me give you a second thought. Faithfulness is a prerequisite to other things. I was thinking, actually, I got prerequisite. I spelled it right the first time. My computer didn't yell at me. But I was thinking, what is a prerequisite? Well, the illustration, the only thing I could think of is in education, a prerequisite are courses that you have to have before taking other courses, right? That would be a prerequisite. I think there is within the I was going to say the real world, but we are all in the real world. But there is the idea of if you're applying for a job, sometimes a prerequisite is training, all right, that you have to have. Sometimes a prerequisite is a certain bit of education or training. Sometimes it is you need experience. And you know that troublesome part for the youth is how do I get experience unless I get a job? But I need experience to get the job. And so we do that, but that's the idea of a prerequisite. It comes before something else. Luke chapter 16, Jesus talks about this. If you look at verse 1, and I'm going to skip over a bunch because I'm going to trust that you'll go back and just think about the entire illustration that Jesus gives in the form of a parable. But verse 1, he said unto his disciples, that's us, there is a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. All right, so now a steward is to be faithful. This master found his steward unfaithful. All right, so he was accused of wasting, rather than being a good steward, of his goods. Now I'm going to jump you all the way to verse 10. All right, so here's the ethical teaching as Jesus brings this to a point. He says in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. I suggest to you that faithfulness with what I have, I mean, that to be more the idea of faithfulness in general, is a prerequisite to be entrusted with more. All right? He's not going to entrust the unfaithful servant with more. Secondly, faithfulness in little things is a prerequisite to be entrusted with big things. So we have Jesus coming across and saying that it's deserving of meditation. Look at the next part of verse 10. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. All right, so you get those two points in mind about faithful to what I have and faithful in the little things. Then we go on, verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? I'll give you a third point that we derive from this. Faithfulness in temporal things or things of this earth is a prerequisite to be entrusted with eternal or spiritual things. All right, so we want the spiritual things, But understand that we're dealing with this concept of faithfulness. And if we're not going to be faithful in little things, we're not going to be faithful in much. If we're not faithful with what we have, we can't expect God to give us more. And if we can't be faithful with things like money, these other things of this earth, then really we're not going to be entrusted with spiritual things. And we want to have this ministry in spiritual things. And then there's one more, and it's taken from verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And so I have this idea, faithfulness with what belongs to others. I wrote it this way, especially God, is a prerequisite to be given things in my own life. Right? So faithfulness is a prerequisite to other things. It is that important that I be faithful with what I have in the little things, in the things of this earth, in the things that God has entrusted to me, so that I can be entrusted with more, with big things, with spiritual things, and things that he can give me in my own life. That's the key. That's what Jesus is teaching. And I find that to be extremely important. That's why I think it's been important in my ministry, kind of evidence in the way we do. I think the way churches handle money is important, because if we can't be faithful in how we handle money, then how is God going to entrust to us souls? Right? I think that's from this passage. I think we get that. And if we aren't faithful in little things, how can he entrust with us bigger things? And so faithfulness is a prerequisite to other things. Matthew chapter 25. Let me take you to another parable. Jesus talks these things about this. This is something that we address as we think about faithfulness. We think about things like eternity. We think about what's going to happen. But the third matter with faithfulness that I think is important is that we understand that my eternal reward is based on faithfulness. All right, my eternal reward is based on faithfulness. Matthew 25, there's the parable. Let me sketch you. Verse 13, I think, is the beginning of it. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is like man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So that we find in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then when he had received, he that read received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, we don't allegorize, but I think it's clear in the parable, in the context of the parable, Jesus is talking about going away and coming back, right? And it is obvious that he entrusts us with matters. He entrusts us with talent. Is actually a value of money. It's actually a pretty large sum. 1 talent is equal to 3 years' wages for a worker. All right, so it's substantial that he had entrusted his laborers with. But he comes back, and verse 9 says, he reckons with them. All right? Now, verse 21, here's what he says to the first individual who was entrusted with 5 and earned 5 more. He said unto him, well done, thou good and, what's the next word? Faithful servant. So he calls him a good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. You see that last verses, that last in Luke chapter 16 that we adjust is that he was faithful in what he gave him. He now can entrust him with more. This idea is applied. You say, well, when Christ comes back, what is he going to do? Well, I'm going to be in heaven. And you say, well, what's going to happen? Well, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to hand out rewards. And the rewards are based upon faithfulness to what I've been given. All right? So he says, well, if we want to hear this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All right, we go on, verse 23, the second individual. He says the same. These are the same words. Well done, well done. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But now there's this contrast that we find. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. And I think here's the coming up is the key. Thou knewest. All right, so now this is where we don't go into allegory where you say this is that, and this. But I'm going to tell you, we know that God wants us to be faithful stewards of what he's given to us, right? We know that. And so what this wicked and slothful servant was is he ignored what he has been given to do. That's what made him wicked and slothful. That's what made him, as we see a little bit later on in verse 30, is called unprofitable servant. But the idea is all of that is I'm even though the word is not used in our translation, I think this servant who did nothing with what was given to him was unfaithful to what his master wanted him to do. All right, so he's unfaithful to what he wanted to do. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Go one more, and then I'm going to wrap that up. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Says this, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. All right, blessed is that servant. Verse 44, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. These are eternal matters. All right, these are eternal things that God has entrusted with us. What follows is another parable about the servant that said his Lord's not coming back anytime soon, and he's not faithful to what the Lord had given him to do. We will be judged as believers at the judgment seat of Christ. Our judgment will be based on what we were given. Now, here's some application. We will be judged based upon what we were given, not what someone else was given. All right, that judgment is personal, it's individual. We will be judged by what we were given and what we did with it, whether we were faithful to use it for the Lord, what we are doing with it. The judgment in all of these parables that Jesus has, the judgment is not about the quantity. The judgment is about one thing, being faithful to what he was entrusted with by the Master. That's why it's important to know what I'm entrusted with, because my rewards in eternity are based upon the faithfulness to what I've done with what I've entrusted with, but have been entrusted with. Some reminders that we have. Christ does judge churches. You say, well, wait a second. So here I'm just making an application. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, He writes to seven churches. You know what he's doing? He's judging those seven churches. There's a reward, and there is warnings. There's all of these things that are in that. He's judging those churches. God judges churches. So God gives churches, I think, certain things, certain situations, certain circumstances. And you say, what do we need to do? We need to be faithful in, we need to be faithful with, we need to be faithful in those matters. It is helpful for me, and I've just got a few minutes, but it's helpful for me to think about, when I talk about faithfulness, to think about what God does not require. What God does not require. He does not require me or us as a church to be someone else. All right, so the idea with that is we must battle the temptation to compare. All right, so what is that? I will guarantee you that I know that your next pastor will not be me. You say, well, duh, you know, but the idea is he will not have my personality, of which maybe you're saying amen. He will not have all sorts of things, but that's okay, because what God requires is that he be faithful. All right, faithful to the word that he's been trusted with, faithful to his education, faithful to his family, faithful to all these things. That's what's required of the pastor, is that as a steward of God, that he be faithful. Comparison with other churches or other individuals is meaningless when it comes to the idea of faithfulness. God does not require me to demonstrate abilities he has not given me. All right, so I was thinking this morning that we sang a song. I picked out a song, Nearer, Still Nearer. Or no, Draw Me Nearer. Draw Me Nearer. And I remember that song. I love that song. I like the message of the song. But probably 30 years ago, at special meetings we had at our church, a visiting pastor, a friend of mine in the ministry, and he and his wife and Sue and I sang that song as preparation for the message the evangelist brought. That pastor, by the way, was David Flink, our missionaries to Chile. I was his dad. We kind of grew up in ministry together. All right, but let me just tell you, so we had a quartet. Three people carried that song. All right, and you say, who is the one that didn't carry his weight? That was me. So they sang loud enough to cover up my voice. One other time in our church in Minnesota, that's when I was young and foolish and didn't know any better, I sang a solo. And there basically was no reaction ever. And so I just determined that is not what I've been given, that ability. All right, so, but I'm not required to be faithful to that. I am required to be faithful to other things. So there's going to be abilities and so forth. As you search for a pastor, you just have to remember, I think key is that we be faithful. There are things as a church, you say, well, you know, and we've talked about this in course of time. You say, we got a small building, it's dated in certain ways, needs some work or this or that. That's okay, we just need to be faithful, right? Because people can build all sorts of fancy places and things. We need to be faithful to what we are being given. And then another thing is God does not require. I am not required, and I am positive I say this probably too often, I'm not required to be innovative, cutting edge, or contemporary. I'm not required to be productive. I'm not required to be entertaining. I'm not required to be any of that. I'm required to be faithful to God's word. I'm required to be faithful to what he's given to me. And by the way, faithfulness is judged by what I do with in obedience to his word. But I think it's important for us to grasp this idea of faithfulness. And with that. And so I've closed this several years ago. I preached at the 40th anniversary of the church I pastored in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And I kind of closed the idea. I did faithfulness at that time. But I close with this. And therefore, our personal meditation, and kids, you're going to love this. I just listen to these prepositions. What? Am I faithful as? Am I faithful as a church, as a part of the church body, as a spouse, as a parent? Am I faithful as? I think there's many things we can think about. Am I faithful to? Am I faithful to my relationship with the Lord? By the way, James chapter 4, you know, when it talks about friendship with the world, right? You know, it goes like this. James chapter 4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses. Why would he call them adulterers and adulteresses? Because if I give my relation, if I give what belongs to God to this world, I am an adulterer spiritually. I'm to be faithful. All of that kind of does, right? Am I faithful to my relationship with the Lord? Am I faithful to the tasks that God has given me? Am I faithful to the one true gospel? Am I faithful to the word? So am I faithful as? That talks about who I am. Am I faithful to? And then finally, am I faithful in? Am I faithful in all that I do? In all that I say? In all that I think? In the use of my time and energy? In the use of my money? In the little things? And we could go dot, dot, dot. But I think that's helpful to me to realize God requires me to be faithful. I should take heed unto that. And realize that it's a prerequisite for other things. It's also something that I will be judged by when I get to the judgment seat of Christ. And I think it's an important aspect for us to think about on this earth, because it's a prerequisite. One of the things that's a prerequisite is to the things that if I'm not faithful with the things of God, then how is he going to entrust me with things of my own? I think faithfulness is an important matter for us to consider. Father, thank you for your reminders from your word. I pray that it would challenge us, teach us, lead us. I pray that it would stick with us as we think about it in the coming days. Bring it back to our mind when it is needed by us to remember that it's required of stewards that we be found faithful. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.